mentioned before. I want a life with you, Alessandra, one without the shadows between us. And I don't care about being vulnerable. That's what my guards are for. I'll get a poison taster. I will live as other kings do. I don't need this centuries-old gift that is really just a curse. And even if you don't want me in return, I am still going to remove the law about people touching me. I don't want this anymore. I'm tired of living a shadowed life. By now, Callias's knees dig into the other side of the tub. He's so close. I can't move. I'm both terrified and desperate to believe him, to let him be what he wants to be, to marry him for real. Because there was Hector, but Callias knows I killed Hector. He knows all my secrets, and he doesn't care. He wants me in spite of them, because of them, even. Please say something, he says. You made this decision before the attack tonight, he nods. You've wanted me from the beginning? Another nod. And I realize that if I tell him no, I'll be just as he was, alone because I'm terrified to be vulnerable. But I can get past that, as he is now, and I can have it all. The power, the kingdom, the man. Come here, I say, because my feet still ache slightly, and I also don't know if I can move with the way he's looking at me. Callias keeps his eyes on mine as he removes his gloves and lets them fall to the floor. I swallow. Between one blink and the next, he's before me. He raises one hand, cups my cheek. I lean into that touch, the one I've been craving for so long. Then Callias lifts me, holds me with one arm at my back and the other beneath my knees. My arms go to his neck, and I draw his face toward mine. I wanted to do this the very first time I saw you, I say, before our lips touch. And then I'm aflame. There is no softness or patience to this kiss. For Callias, it is one he has waited a whole year for. And for me, I feel as though I've waited my whole life. He stumbles slightly as he tries to veer around the tub without breaking the kiss, and I laugh against his lips before he silences me with his mouth. I don't know how he manages not to drop me, but he makes it all the way to my bed, all while giving the utmost attention to my lips. I'm flat on my back while he holds himself above me, his mouth moving to investigate the slope of my neck. Promise me, I start, and then I lose my train of thought as he finds a spot at the base of my throat and runs his teeth across it. I put my hands on his shoulders, pushing him away for a moment, just so I can collect my thoughts. Promise me you won't send me away because I'm the one making you mortal. Promise me you won't change your mind later and decide I'm not enough for the price of mortality. His breathing is ragged, but he manages to focus. I swear it, Alessandra. You're not going anywhere. You're mine. He sits back on his knees and starts unbuttoning his shirt. I follow his fingers with my eyes, watching as each inch of his beautiful skin is revealed. I don't like being on uneven footing, so I sit up too. He draws his shirt away from his chest and tosses it to the ground. And I understand. I place the palm of my hand flat against his chest, and he closes his eyes. He hasn't been touched in so long, and what he wants right now, what he needs, is to be touched. My hands do a thorough search of his chest, and then I replace them with my lips, feeling every muscle, every slope, every smooth and coarse surface. I lay him back, climb atop him, let him feel the weight of my body. My hair slides against his cheeks as I kiss the stubble at his chin, and then I move to his neck, up to his ear, grab the lobe between my teeth and tongue. And then, as though he can't stand it anymore, he rolls us, effectively sliding me underneath him. My dress hitches up, and one of his thighs goes between mine, nudging upward. And then I'm gasping, but he covers the sound with his mouth. I can't think. I can't breathe. I can't. Callias slows the kiss, draws each connection of our lips out almost lazily, as if he has all the time in the world. My senses return, and I just enjoy the feel of him, The heat of him, the way his clever lips move across mine. The Shadow King is the most patient man in the world. He kisses me for hours. He plays with me, speeding the kisses up for a time and then slowing them down, as if to see how close he can bring himself to the brink of control before calming back down. He never takes off his pants. He never takes off my dress. He doesn't even let his hands stray to fun places. And I'm so terrified that he'll change his mind, that he'll send me away, that he'll decide he doesn't want me anymore, as Hector did. That I don't try to push anything. As badly as I want him, I let him control the pace and speed at which we go. Just for tonight, when things are new and terrifying. Perhaps that is what he needs, to ease himself back into remembering what it is like to feel. When I wake, I try to cling to the remnants of a delicious dream. There was me and Callias and... But when my eyes open, I find him in bed next to me, one gloveless, shirtless arm slung over my middle. Not a dream, a beautiful reality. My Shadow King. His eyes crack open, and he just stares at me, as though startled. But then he collects himself. That'll take some getting used to. Waking up to another face? Waking up to a face that isn't Demodocus's. As much as I love him, I much prefer yours. His hand snakes forward to cup my face, and he draws me in for a sweet kiss. An hour or so later, he leaves me to dress in his own room, but he doesn't bother to shut the door that usually separates us, so that we might talk. I'm having your things moved in here, he says. Moved where? Into your room? Into our room. We'll knock down this wall, make it one great room. I don't care, but you're sleeping with me. There will be no your bed and my bed nonsense. His next words are muffled, as though he says them while pulling on a shirt over his head. Unless you really want your own bedroom. It sounds as though the words cost him greatly. I smile, not answering right away because it'll drive him mad. Finally, I say, I don't need my own room. Good. I'll order the staff to move your things over immediately. We'll get some builders up here to take out the wall while we're away on our honeymoon. We're going away for our honeymoon? He appears in the doorway, not having bothered to ask if I'm dressed. A very long one. While I manage to get my dress over my head, I can't do the laces in the back. Will you help me? Or should I ring for a maid? He doesn't say anything, and in the next instant, I feel his fingers sweeping my hair over my shoulder. He works at the strings on my back, pausing every other one to add a kiss to the back of my neck. When he's done, I reach for my gloves, but Callias plucks them out of my fingers and tosses them away. No gloves, and he grabs my fingers with his, lacing them together. You've suddenly become so much more demanding. And I think you'll love it, he says, pulling me close, running his nose along my neck. Oh. But I do. A whole slew of guards accompanies us down to the dungeons. It will take some time, I think, to adjust to how many are appropriate throughout the castle, now that Callias will be vulnerable to attack constantly, just like any normal man. When we're let through a thick door with a barred opening at the top, I'm glad I didn't wear one of my own designs down here. The ground is positively filthy. I suspect it's never been cleaned. Every step echoes loudly, and lit torches shine from their sconces. Electric wires must have never been installed down here. Why would they need to be? Criminals don't need the light.
Icarus first, Callias says, and a burly man with a ring of keys leads us through a maze of cells before stopping before an occupied one.
Lord Vasco. Just Vasco, now that I suppose he'll be stripped of his title, stands with his back toward the bars, facing an abandoned corner. The other corner holds naught but a bucket, and I don't want to think about what it's used for. No plumbing down in the dungeons either, it would seem.
I just want to know one question, Callias says. Why? Vasco doesn't turn, doesn't make any movements to indicate he heard our approach at all. He keeps his head firmly toward the corner, as though it's the most interesting thing in the world. My father and mother, Kalia swallows. They loved you. You had their respect. Why would you do that to them? Again, no response. You wanted the power, is that it? Without the Maharis line, you thought you would rule instead? Well, you wouldn't have. I have third cousins. They would take the throne before you ever would. So why? When Vasco doesn't move, Kalia screams, Why? The sound bounces off the walls, and I resist the urge to cover my ears with my hands. I only stand by Kalia's side, holding his hand for support. This issue is personal to him. I will respect him by letting him deal with it in any way he sees fit. When the echoes die completely, Kalias tries again. Did you think I would be easy to control? Is that it? You thought I would be your puppet king. And when I wasn't, you thought to get rid of me as well. Still no movement. Kalias turns, taking me with him back down the hallway, but he says over his shoulder, You have 3 days to think it over. After that, we resort to less pleasant means of getting information out of you. To the guard, Take us to Zervas now.
Your parents weren't who you thought they were, a cold voice says from behind us.
Kalias halts but doesn't turn.
You were never supposed to be king, Vasco continues. Your father deserved what happened.
Kalias's grip tightens on my fingers, and I wrap my free hand around his upper arm. To Lady Zervas's cell, I tell the guard, and we put Vasco behind us. We're led down another corridor, and where Vasco's cell was initially as silent as a tomb, Zervas's rings with music. She's singing. I can't make out the words with the horrid way the cells echo, but it's probably some little tune sung to her as a child. I suppose one has to pass the time somehow. Once she hears our footsteps, she silences, watching us as we come into view. She sighs dramatically.
Are you here to let me out?
No, Kalia says.
Well then, let me know when you are here to let me out.
And she resumes her singing.
What the devils?
You're locked up for murder, I tell her. You should take this more seriously. Her voice cuts off again.
I'm not the one responsible for the late king's and queen's deaths. I've never raised a hand to Kalias. When the real murderer strikes again, I will be released.
You matched a description perfectly.
A description given by whom? She asks.
Neither Kalias nor I dare to say a little girl.
Either it was from a highly unreliable source, or it was from someone who was in on it. Someone who wants you to think it's me, so you will let down your guard. Honestly, the person behind the attack has my utmost respect. I'm a perfect scapegoat. I have the means and the motive. But while I did want your dear father to suffer as he did, I'm not the one who killed him. And there's no reason why I should want to kill you. If I were you, I'd be very careful. And honestly, perhaps you should take a closer look at her.
It takes me a moment to realize she's speaking about me.
After all, love is an excellent motivator to kill.
And then she resumes singing. Chapter 28 Kalias and I join the rest of the nobles for lunch in the Great Hall. We need to be a strong and united front for all the courtiers to see. Kalias is undaunted by the attack on his life. He is as strong as ever, and everyone is here to witness it. Say Vasco, Zervas, and Orin, of course. I lean forward in my seat. Rhoda, where is Galen? Why isn't he joining us? Rhoda turns her head to stare at the man leaning against the wall with the other servants. She pivots back around, a forlorn look on her face. He wouldn't come. Said it would put too much pressure and attention on me. Can you believe it? He's worried about me. Kalias looks up from his meal. You're pursuing your manservant. Romantically. Rhoda meets Kalias's gaze without shame.
I am,
She raises a bite of food to her mouth. Callias nods. Would it help if I made him a lord? Gave him some land and a title? Rhoda chokes. I think it would, I say. Rhoda takes a deep drink from her cup. Your Majesty, I could never ask such a thing. If it would make Alessandra happy, then it's already done. Callias switches his fork to his left hand. His right goes under the table. To my leg. I try to keep my face neutral at the sudden weight. Oh, sire, thank you, but I have plenty of land for the two of us. He doesn't need it, but a title. We would be honored to accept that. Then I will make it all official and have my man draw up all the particulars. We'll gift it to him in public to help do away with the suspicion about you two. Rhoda leaves the table abruptly and runs over to Galen. She takes him by the hand before leading him from the room. Meanwhile, Callias's hand slides to the inside of my thigh. I don't know how he manages it while also bringing food to his lips. I nearly drop my spoon when his thumb rubs over an especially sensitive spot. I'm so glad I opted for a dress with thin skirts today. Even though it makes it impossible to focus on a single word Hestia is saying, something about inviting me to visit with her at Lord Paulos's estate, or maybe... Callias's hand slides higher. Oh, that wicked man. Forgive me, I say, standing from the table, but I'm not feeling so well. I think I'll retire to my rooms. I practically run from the table, hoping to hide the heat in my cheeks and my quickened breath. I don't spare Callias a glance. When I reach my room, I dismiss all the servants who had begun moving my things over to Callias's rooms. They appear to have made it through my vanity and washroom, but stopped just shy of the wardrobe. Perhaps I should consider a cool bath. There's a knock, followed by the door opening. Callias, of course. You're unwell. Why didn't you say? I throw myself at him, layering hot, open-mouthed kisses on him. Though startled at first, he soon returns them in kind. Lavender mint fills my senses, and his mouth has the light taste of wine. I lean him against the nearest wall, fusing our bodies together, let my hands slide the jacket off his shoulders. I'm just fine, I say as I pull back slightly to deal with a button that's impeding my progress. You, however, are in trouble. For what? He asks innocently. Distracting me to the point of not being able to eat my meal. He spins us around, spins me around, so my front is pressed against the wall, my head turned to the side to look at him. That doesn't seem right, he says. All I did was... And then he's bending down, pulling up my skirts so he can trace the same path he did under the table, only this time on my bare skin. Meanwhile, his lips are exploring the back of my neck, and I'm trapped, helpless to do anything but feel him as his fingers explore higher and higher. When I can't take it any longer, I push off from the wall, spin to face him. His lips find mine, and his fingers are in my hair, pulling out the pins I used to hold it up this morning. I place my hands at my back, trying to reach the laces holding my dress together. I need it off. Now, there is too much between his body and mine. Once he realizes what I'm doing, he says, No. He steps backward. No. He repeats. And I think I might scream if he tries to stop this, if he... Let me, he adds. In mere seconds, my dress is gone, and I'm before him in my chemise. He looks me over slowly, at the skin he can view beneath the practically see-through material. If I were a better man, I would send you away, he says. My life is dangerous. There's always someone trying to kill me. Even if this threat has been dealt with, there will be others. You could get hurt by being close to me. Good thing you're not a better man. I take off his cravat, start on the buttons of his shirt. Why? I ask. Why didn't you take me last night? I wasn't sure if you wanted to. Or if you wanted to wait until after the wedding, you didn't. I want to. I rip off the last button after it slips through my fingers for the second time. And then he carries me to the bed.
The Shadow King, it turns out, was well worth the wait.
The former queen's sitting room is now my sitting room. I still have a mind to redecorate it, but for now it's the perfect place for Rhoda, Hestia, and I to spend some time alone. Especially when I have so much to tell them. What was it like, Hestia wants to know, being with the king?
It was better than anything I could have imagined, I say, but I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that Callias is a king.
It is his patience, his ability to hold himself back until the right moment that makes him such a good lover.
What of you and Lord Paulos? I ask. Have you two?
No, she says simply. I asked him if we could wait until after the wedding.
Has he pressured you?
I ask, suddenly growing protective of my friend.
Oh, no. He's been wonderful about it. You might think I'm silly, but I just want to wait until I'm his wife.
I take her hand in mine. There is nothing silly about waiting until you want to. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. It is your body to do with as you will.
She smiles at me then, and I worry that I might be the first person to tell her that.
Waiting? Not waiting? One lover? 100 lovers? There should be no judgment either way. A woman is not defined by what she does or doesn't do in the bedroom.
What have you, Rhoda? Hestia asks. What's the latest with you and Galen?
If it were up to me, I would have bedded him after the ball, Rhoda says. Galen wants to wait. He muttered some nonsense about preserving my virtue. But if you ask me, he wants to wait until we're married so I can't change my mind.
As if he has anything to worry about.
Perhaps you need to be a bit more persuasive, I suggest.
I'm open to ideas.
Have you tried waiting for him in his bed at night?
Yes.
Already naked?
She opens her mouth, pauses.
No. He won't resist that.
In a more practical voice, I add, you'd think he'd be a little more grateful about being made a lord. He should be worshipping you.
So true, Rhoda says. She sighs. And I look at my two friends. My first real friends. I thought women were always my competitors, people to be jealous of. How wrong I was. We're all just so happy. I hope it lasts forever.
The door to the sitting room bursts open, nearly flying off its hinges. Lady Stathos, you're ordered to appear before the king immediately.
Some nondescript guard issues the command. He's flanked by two other men wearing the crest of the king.
Is Callias all right? I ask as I stand abruptly.
Take her,
the first guard says, and the other two flank me, each grabbing one of my arms, and start physically pulling me toward the doorway.
What do you think you're doing?
Rhoda yells from behind me.
That's the future queen! Unhand her at once!
But she's ignored, and my arms are bruised as I'm dragged up the stairs toward the library that Callias and I use for our private meals. After a while, I stop struggling and just bear the humiliation. I will deal with these three men once I'm with Callias. Oh, how they'll pay then. This is some sort of mistake. They must have misunderstood the king's orders. I can't imagine what he said to give them the impression I should be treated as a prisoner. But when they finally release me, I find Callias alone in the library, his back to the door.
Wait outside, he says to the guards. They do, shoving me unceremoniously toward the king.
Callias, what is this? Gods, I have bruises from the guards.
He turns, his eyes going to my arms to assess the damage. Then, as if remembering himself, he looks away, hardening his features.
Why did you come to court? He asks in a low tone.
Because you asked me to!
I'm fuming now.
No.
What was your real purpose?
Why were you at the ball? The one specifically set up by my advisors, because they wanted me to select someone to court. Why did you ignore me? Practically force me to come to you.
Dread sinks low in my chest. But how? How could he know?
Where are these questions coming from? Have I done something wrong? Callias, it's me.
Did Servus spout more drivel about me being involved in his attacks?
The servants finished moving your things over to my room. This was found in your wardrobe.
He holds up the vial of Minilin.
the one I stole from the healer and then shoved into the back of my wardrobe ages ago, and promptly forgot about. Callias,
you are suspected of treason, he bites out, and you will address me as Your Majesty for these proceedings.
Something in my heart twists, breaks, dissolves away, leaving a gaping wound in its place. I need a lie, a convincing one, fast, now. But I, conniving, scheming Alessandra Stathos, cannot think of a single thing to say when he looks at me with such loathing.
Why was this in your wardrobe? He demands. I've already had it examined by one of my healers. It's the same kind of poison that was found in my cup after your ball.
Oh, a horrid coincidence. I open my mouth.
I don't think you've ever lied to me, Alessandra.
I haven't. Not really.
You've misled me, of course, when it came to Hector and the Baron. But I don't think you've ever spoken an outright lie to me. Do you think I'd be able to tell if you were?
Let's find out.
Now tell me what you used this for.
I look down at my fingers to find them shaking.
Look at me, he says.
I do. Any hesitation on my part would only seem as though I'm trying to come up with a lie. So the truth starts to spill out of me. I cough and force my face to remain calm. I went to that ball with the intention of catching your eye. I start.
I don't need the whole story. What I need is for you to tell me who the poison was for and why.
He considers the vial. It's unopened,
and it does you little good to kill me before we are wed. Were you working with Vasco? Did he put his plan into action too soon without you? Or were you working for him, distracting me so that I would touch you and make myself vulnerable to him?
No, I was not working for or with Vasco in any manner. I had nothing to do with what happened at the ball.
Then what did you intend it for, Alessandra?
A single tear slides down my cheek. You. I intended it for you. The cruel man before me disappears for the briefest of moments. Goliath's face falls, hurt softening his features. Then the villain is back.
Why?
I had a plan. There were three simple steps. I was going to woo you. I was going to marry you. And then
what?
And then I was going to kill you and take your kingdom for myself.
A bitter smile stretches across his lips. That does sound like you.
But Callias, I threw out that plan weeks ago. I no longer had any desire to kill you because I...
What? You what, Alessandra?
Now the tears are coming quickly. I can't look at him as I say it. I don't want to say it. But my life is on the line. I fell in love with you. He laughs. The sound is not kind, and the empty space where my heart once was burns with pain.
All this time, I worried about old threats, when I should have also been looking for new ones. I suppose a king is never permitted friends or lovers, not when every person in the world wants something from me.
It wasn't like that. Not anymore. I swear it. I never lied to you. I never pretended anything with you. I didn't have to. Don't you see?
I don't want to hear any more.
Callias, please.
His neck snaps in my direction. I told you. You are no longer allowed to address me in that way, Lady Stathos.
The hurt is so deep, but so is the anger. And that night with Hector flashes into my mind. My knife is in my boot, of course. I could draw it much faster than Callias could his rapier, especially when he's mostly turned away from me. And though my anger is rich and raw, I have no desire to reach down for my knife. I could never, never wish Callias any harm.
You will leave, he says. I don't care where you go, so long as I never have to see you again. If you come back here, if I ever have to look upon your face again... I'll kill you myself.
I rub at the tears as they fall, try to gather my thoughts, but the ache in my chest is all-consuming.
Leave, damn it, before I change my mind!
He stomps toward me, and I think he might physically remove me from the room if I don't find my feet. So I flee,
Be out of the castle by nightfall, he says to my retreating back. I don't care if you have to leave your things behind.
That's the last thing I hear. Out in the hallway, I see Hestia and Rhoda waiting. They've brought my other friends, Leandros, Reuben, and Petros. What do they mean to do? Plead on my behalf? They don't know what I've done. Will Callias tell them? Alessandra, Rhoda begins, but I ignore her. I rush past them all, streak up the stairs, ignoring the looks the servants give me as they see my red face and tear-stained cheeks.
I'll go after her, I think I hear someone say distantly. You speak with the king.
But I barely make sense of anything. Everything is a blur through the moisture at my eyes. I fumble for the key to my room 3 times before I get the door open. The space is completely empty. Right. I've been moved into his room. The tears start afresh as I stride over to the adjoining door, and I look into the room that's been made to fit both his things and mine. Our wardrobes are side by side. Extra pillows have been added to the bed. My vanity has been placed on a free wall near the washroom that smells like the soaps he used this morning. Looking at it all, at the evidence of the life I could have had with him, I fall to the floor in a heap of skirts, my head dropping into my hands. How long until nightfall? I don't know. I don't care. Not when everything is ruined. I don't know how long I sit there before the softest tapping reaches me.
Alessandra? May I come in?
I don't answer. I try to rub my tears off on my sleeves. He comes in anyway. Leandros. He looks as though he has recently bathed. His hair still damp. The smell of roses wafts over me. He must have had petals in the water.
Oh dear, he says when he sees me. Then he falls to the floor and gathers me to him,
letting my head rest against his chest. One of his hands strokes my hair while his voice lets out soothing sounds. I've already cried myself dry, though. My tears cease.
Do you want to talk about it? He asks.
There isn't anything to say. He sent me away. I have until nightfall to collect my things.
My voice sounds hoarse. Leandros tightens his grip. How could he send you away? What did you do?
Nothing, I say. And it's true. I'd been caught with a vial of poison, but I didn't use it. I hadn't actually done anything. I wasn't going to do anything. Why did I ever steal it in the first place?
Then he's a fool. Leandros pulls back just enough to look at me, to wipe the last undried tear from my chin. I know you're hurting, but you will get past this. All will be well.
And as I sit there, staring at Leandros, I'm overcome with a sudden urge.
The urge to hurt Callias. He made me feel for him and then sent me away, tossed me aside as has happened to me once before. How dare he? So I lean forward and kiss Leandros.
He doesn't return it. He's rigid as a board before me, so I use my hands to scoot closer before letting them drift around his neck. I catch his lower lip with my teeth, and that results in the most delicious noise from his throat.
Then he returns everything in kind.
He is an exceptional kisser, but he is not Callias.
I don't care.
My hands drift to his hair, still slightly damp. There's a hint of some other scent about him, but I can't quite place it. It mixes nicely with the rose.
I wish Callias would walk in. I wish he would think to check my progress. Wish he would change his mind and ask me to stay. Beg me for forgiveness. Get on his knees and—
Are you all right?
Leandros asks, pulling away.
You seem distracted.
All the years of practice with my previous lovers makes it easy to pretend. You make it hard for me to think.
He grins.
You are too good for me, I say. How can you be so kind when I rejected you? Leandros, I'm so sorry. I never should have said no.
He leans forward and kisses the tip of my nose. Think nothing of it. I knew you would see my merits eventually.
I smile as my eyes catch sight of the window. The sun is beginning to set. I have to go. He ordered me away before sunset.
Don't worry. You won't be gone long.
I reach for what I can find, a small purse of money, my favorite jacket to protect me from the cold.
You saw how angry he was. Give me some time to talk with him. He'll be back at court, this time on my arm, in no time.
I feel sick. No, just miserable. Callias would never permit me back at court, and even if he did, I couldn't bear it to be here and not with him. I kissed Leandros. And for what? It didn't make me feel better. It didn't enrage Callias. All it did was give Leandros false hope. Perhaps not entirely false. I can't go back to my father. He'll probably throw me out just like I did to him at my ball. My best chance is to marry quickly. Perhaps I can persuade Leandros to make an offer for me and then keep me in his country estate. I will write to you, I say.
I will collect you, he answers, when it's time.
So optimistic. How does he manage it all the time? Surely it must be exhausting. Chapter 29. The carriage clops along the street, wending down the slope of the mountain, carrying me to an inn located at the base. In all my misery, I failed to realize one thing. I'm lucky to be alive. Callias had every right and authority to order my immediate death. He could have me hanged along with Vasco and Zervas. But he told me to go. Why? Why would he do that? Not a single reason comes to mind. The passing scenery makes me sick. It reminds me of when Callias and I rode up the mountain together. When I fell into him. When he trusted me with his secrets. When he remained a gentleman while we were swimming. He was anything but a gentleman last night. My heart seems to break all over again when I remember our time together. When I think of his touches and kisses. When I think of the things he whispered into my hair. Oh, but I did love him. But he was cruel in forcing the confession from me, and when I told him how I loved him, he laughed in my face. That person is not the Callias I know. I have at least 3 more hours in the carriage to go, so I try to get comfortable, letting my legs rest against the opposite seat. He can't do this to me. To us. We were perfect together. We were made for each other. As rulers. As lovers. There is no reason why we shouldn't be together. My hands close into fists. I have to make him see it. I have to convince him. But is it worth the risk of my own life? He swore he'd kill me himself if I returned. How could I convince him I meant him no harm? How can I convince him I want the life he carved for us? My shoulders loosen and my hands fall open. A new wave of pain hits me as I see Callias's ring on my finger. But then my eyes catch on something below it. Ugh. A spot of dirt smudges the lower part of my hand. I attempt to rub it on the seat of the carriage. Callias's carriage. It doesn't come off. I take a knuckle to it, and when that also doesn't work, I wet a finger with my tongue and rub at it. But it won't come off. Hesitantly, I lower my nose and sniff. That aroma from before, the one mixed with Leandros's roses, wafts gently toward me. I know this smell. How do I know this smell? My hands. They were in Leandros's hair when I kissed him. Yes, hair. There was a product used in the dyeing of ladies' hair. It smells just like this. But why would Leandros dye his hair? As I sit there, I remember Lady Zervas's insistence that she is innocent, that she'll be freed when the real killer shows themselves. Vasco is guilty. Of that I'm certain. But could he have roped his nephew into helping him? No, Leandros would never. Why would he? He was Callias's friend. He came to court after the death of Callias's brother. Why should Leandros have any motive to harm the king? But then I remember how he insisted I would be back in the palace soon, and by his side. Still, why should he want to harm Callias? I stare down at the spot on my hand. He came to court after the death of Callias's brother. When Callias and I went to the gentleman's club in disguise, I'd noticed how Callias looked so much like Leandros with the lighter hair. What would Leandros have to gain from harming Callias
Unless... Devils! Turn the carriage around! I scream the words, and the carriage comes to a severe halt. I'm almost thrown onto the opposite seat.
My lady? The coachman asks.
The king's life is in peril. We must turn around at once.
I'm to take you away. King's orders.
I toss my head out the window so I can glare up at the simple man. And what do you think will happen when the king dies, and I tell the council you could have prevented it? He still looks unsure. I have 50 nekos in my purse, I say. At that, he turns the horses around, and we veer back up the mountain, this time at breakneck speed. I don't know what I'm doing. Callias is going to kill me. The moment he sees me, I'm dead. Not long ago, I wouldn't have hesitated to save myself, even if it meant someone else's death. I still would, if it were anyone except for Callias. I hate him, but I love him more. He needs to know the truth, even if he kills me for it. He needs to know who murdered his parents. It wasn't Zervas, and it wasn't Leandros. It wasn't even Vasco, but he must be involved somehow. I don't quite have the whole of it figured out, but I know enough. I leap from the carriage once we reach the palace again. I curse the skirts that impede my speed. If I had just worn pants today, but I hadn't thought I'd be running anywhere. I just remember what Callias did the last time I wore skirts. The sun has long since set. The palace is as quiet as a tomb. Guards stand watch at every opening into the palace, but I suspect they haven't been told of my treachery yet. None prevent me from entering, and fortunately I don't spot the three who delivered me to the library to await the king's judgment. I'm panting by the time I reach the corridor. Our corridor. Is the king in his rooms? I ask the guards on watch.
No, Lady Stathos. He hasn't turned in for bed yet.
My voice turns into a growl.
Where is he? We're not assigned to his personal guard. I couldn't tell you.
The king's life is in danger. I need to know where he is now. But yelling doesn't help. It doesn't suddenly give them the answers I want. I turn, flying back down the stairs. When I hear the guards follow, I shout back, No, stay put in case he does turn in. Do not leave your posts. Where would he be this late at night? If he doesn't have any meetings, where would he go? He was in the library the last time I saw him, so I make my way there instead. But on a hunch, I change course halfway there, making for the queen's sitting room instead. His mother's day-use room. I curse myself for my foolishness when I don't spot any guards outside the doors. But then, what if Callias ditched his guards? I plunge into the room at full speed, the door slamming into the wall behind it. A pair of arms catches me before I go sprawling on the ground.
Alessandra?
I push myself out of Callias's arms, still fearful of the way he treated me when last we saw each other. You're alive! He gives me a look like I've gone mad.
Yes?
Where is your guard? I let the words out around heaving breaths.
I gave them the night off. With all the threats against me dealt with, including you, I might add, I thought I'd have some time without them.
Never mind that. What are you doing back here?
You're alone? I say over the top of him.
No, I'm here too.
Leandro steps out of the alcove he's been standing in.
We were catching up. What are you doing here?
I spin to Callias. You need to run. Now, go to your guards, wherever the nearest ones are.
Why? Are you going to try to kill me again? He asks with bitter sarcasm.
I've never tried to kill you, and I'm not the one who poses a threat to your life. He is. I point to Leandros, whose eyes widen at the accusation.
What? Callias asks. Leandros didn't help his uncle. He protected me from him when Ikaros tried to approach me after I'd swallowed the poison.
He didn't protect you, I say as realization dawns on me. He used the opportunity to touch you. Have you been able to use your shadows since entering this room?
I haven't tried, and they're not about to work with you here. Now get out!
Callias grabs my arm, trying to drag me away. He isn't who he says he is! Lord Vasco has no nephew! Callias' grip loosens at the words, and I tug my arm free.
What are you talking about? He asks.
I have the same question, Leandro says,
and his voice is much closer now. Without thinking, I shove myself between the two men, using my body as a shield for Callias. Even as I spot the sword hanging from Leandris's hips, I don't lose my footing. Look at him, Callias. Look at him closely. You know him.
Yes, his voice comes from behind me. He's my best friend, or was until I...
No, you know him from before that. He looked a little different then, with hair as black as yours, a nose that wasn't broken. The mind sees what it wants to see when it can't make sense of anything else. Your brother died, so how could he return disguised as someone else?
And then Leandros, Xanthos, narrows his eyes at me.
What happened to you? I ask. You were beaten, that much is obvious. But why fake your death? Why come back and kill your parents and try to kill your brother? It doesn't make sense.
Xanthos looks over my head to Callias.
I think she's feeling guilty. She kissed me this evening, you know, after you sent her away.
Stop it! I shout, feeling shame and anger all at once. But I don't dare look at Callias. I can't take my eyes from Xanthos, from the threat. I was hurt, I say by way of explanation. That doesn't excuse it, but it did reveal to me your treachery.
I hold my hand above my head, so the stain is pointed toward Callias.
Hair dye. It came off on my hands. He caught up to me right after using it. I suspected he wanted to see me off, make sure he could really get you alone for once, without anyone witnessing him murdering you.
The room goes silent. No, Callias says at last. No, he can't be Xanthos. I loved my brother, but he was taunting, cruel. Leandros has been nothing but...
An actor, I finish. An assassin in disguise.
Again, silence. It stretches for so long, I think I might turn around just from the pain of not being able to read Callias's face. And then the heat at my back retreats as Callias steps backward.
It is you.
Xanthos looks heavenward.
Great, Alessandra. Well done.
He draws his sword. I've been working on this for 4 long years, and then you have to go and ruin it.
You're the one who ruined it, I point out, showing him the brown mark.
I thought to take one last thing from my brother. He had everything that should have been mine. The kingdom, the empire, the shadows. The only thing that was truly his was you. And I wanted to take that, too.
I step back when I feel Callias's hand come down on my shoulder, tugging me toward him.
The assassin in the gardens, I say. He was there on your orders.
I'd seen Leandros right before Callias showed up. I can't believe I didn't make the connection sooner.
He'd been serving as a manservant for a week, Xanthos says. We were just waiting for the right moment, when there weren't guards around, when Callias would let his shadows down.
And the letter? I ask. The gentleman's club?
Xanthos shakes his head.
No, that was Vasco's doing. I would never agree to such a stupid and convoluted plan. He's lucky he saw through Callias's disguise. Lucky he wasn't seen at the club.
A lead weight sinks low in my chest.
I left you on the dais with him at the ball. I told you to look over him.
And he would have died if Petros hadn't seen me touch him. He thought it was an accident, but he ordered me away so Callias could heal.
Xanthos, Callias says finally, as though he still can't quite believe it. As though he didn't hear any of the conversation we just had.
What happened to you? Why didn't you tell me it was you? I would have... You would have what?
Xanthos snaps. Stepped down from being king? Given the title over willingly and happily?
You and I both know you wouldn't have. Not after you had a taste of the power. Besides, I couldn't reveal myself until mother and father were dead. Until you were dead. So no one could stand with you to contest my claim to the throne.
Oh, I say, as realization dawns. You didn't have the ability. The shadows. Your father didn't want you to become king. You embarrassed him, didn't you?
Xanthos raises his sword so the point presses against my throat.
I would stay silent if I were you. Leave her out of this, Callias says, tugging me out of reach of the sword.
He places his body between me and his older brother.
I don't understand. Father ordered you beaten?
Xanthos's nostril flare as his face hardens.
He beat me himself. To death, almost. That was surely his intention.
He left me by the side of the road, near a carriage he had his men tip over, to make it look like an accident. And then he left. Not a shred of guilt to be found.
That's when Vasco found you, I say.
When he found out what my father did, he pledged his loyalty to me. The true king. He took care of me. Helped me disguise myself. Vowed to help me take back my throne. We hired those men to enter the palace. Put the whole place on lockdown. I killed father before he even knew what was happening. It was much too quick. He should have been beaten first. As I was. But I knew I didn't have much time.
Callias's breathing has hastened.
And mother?
He asks, his voice breaking at the end.
I couldn't be sure she wasn't in on it. It was harder to kill her, but I knew I had to. She was already beginning to suspect who I was.
But that was too much.
Callias launches himself at Xanthos, dodging the sword and tackling him to the ground. The sword goes flying off to the side, and I run to retrieve it. Then I stand back, watching the two men.
Callias has the fight in hand. He's landed atop Xanthos. Straddling him, he unleashes his fists on the fallen man.
She was my mother!
He punctuates each word with a slam of his knuckles.
Xanthos surges upward, slamming his forehead into Callias's nose. He shoves him to the side, freeing himself from his younger brother's clutches.
And then he kicks him. Callias goes down.
Don't think you were the only one who loved her, Xanthos says.
He pulls at his cufflinks almost without noticing. And I remember that he liked to wear ones shaped like roses, their mother's favorite flower.
It nearly killed me to end her too. But you? You I will enjoy killing.
Callias rolls away and manages to find his feet, but a steady drip of blood comes from his nose.
They tangle together again, dodging and throwing fists.
I can't do anything but watch. What if I slash the wrong man with the sword? Should I run for the guards? Not if I want to risk Xanthos winning the fight.
How have you enjoyed my birthright, Callias? Did you like ruling behind the council? Did you enjoy the king's suite? Sitting at the head of the dinner table?
I did, Callias says. I never would have given it up. Not for a powerless, pathetic, matricidal whelp like you.
Xanthos screams as he flings himself at Callias. They roll over each other on the floor until Xanthos comes up on top this time. Callias takes a fist to his lips, to his left eye, to his throat. Xanthos will kill him. I'm sure of it. I step forward with the sword, place it under his throat. Off. Now. He ignores me, tries to slap the sword away with his fingers, so I let the edge dig into his skin, drawing a line of blood. That gets his attention. He rises at my next insistence and backs away, retreating until his back hits a wall.
Let me go, Alessandra! He shrieks.
No.
He sent you away. He said he'd kill you if you returned.
Had he been listening in on our last conversation?
Why would you defend him?
I shrug. Just feel like it, really.
I'm hardly about to profess my love yet again where Callias can hear it. He doesn't want you. Saving him won't change that. Move away. Now.
I won't.
If you want to stop me, you'll have to kill me. I think we both know you don't have it in you.
When he tries to move, I let the tip of the sword break his skin, sliding in until it hits the wall. Xanthos's eyes widen in surprise as a choking noise comes out of his throat, where blood oozes from his airway. You didn't really know me, I say. If you had, you'd know I've already killed for love once before.
And then he slumps forward, tacked to the wall like some macabre tapestry.
Dead. I turn to Callias, find him watching me from the floor, his eyes going in and out of focus. Then I run for the guards. Chapter 30. As soon as I knew Callias was safe, that a healer was tending to him and a whole platoon of guards were watching over him, I left. I knew he would only send me away again once he had the strength to do so. Unless, of course, he decided to kill me. I saved him, but somehow, I'm as miserable as ever. Perhaps Service was right. It is far better to know he was mine before death than to know he will go on to be with someone else.
I plump my pillow before adjusting it below my chest, wrapping my arms around it, and letting my chin sink onto the edge of the downy softness. Rhoda is letting me stay at her estate for as long as I wish. She's away with Galen, staying at some country inn, far, far away from gossip and anyone who knows them. I try not to be bitter about the romantic getaway they're having. How can I be so jealous when I have a glorious duchess's estate to stay in? Alone. Cast aside. Threatened with death by the man I love. Loved. I cannot still care for him after what he's done. It's been a week since he threw me out of the palace, since the duel in the sitting room. A week of sleeping in dreadfully late each morning, or afternoon, really. A week of selling off the trinkets Callias gave me to pad my purse. A week of walking down the vast halls of this estate, touring the grounds, yet avoiding the gardens. I go for a horse ride each afternoon, enjoy delicious dishes prepared by Rhoda's exquisite cook, and try to decide what the next step is for me. I don't need to marry anymore. I have all the money I could need, and a free place to stay indefinitely. I have nothing to scheme for, and I find I don't have a taste for men at the moment. Hestia has written to me, asking me if she might visit. She also sent a wedding invitation. I don't know if I can stand at the sight of my friends and their happiness right now. What I need is to feel in control. Perhaps I'll purchase my own estate, order my own servants about. That should make me happy. I ring for a maid to help me dress and fix my hair. Then I let myself into Rhoda's study, where I sit before a desk. I'll inquire after any land for sale, or perhaps I'll see if Vasco's estate is up for grabs. He lost it along with his title when he was sentenced. After some time, a letter arrives from my sister. She pleads father's case, telling me how desperately he wishes me to come home. She apologizes for being away from me so long. If only I'd been with you to set an example, perhaps you might not be alone and without any prospects. Would you like to come stay with me and the Duke for a time? Of course, you can't carry on as you have while you're here. You were so young when Mother died, and as your older sister, I should have taken better care of you. Father and I certainly don't blame you for turning into a trollop. How else were you to entertain yourself while I was at parties and balls? I'm not a trollop, I announced to the empty room. I'm a sexually empowered woman, and there is nothing wrong with that. How dare she try to argue morality with me? Through a letter. And how could Father go to her to convince me to come home? He only wants a bride price for me. Without me, he's left figuring out how to save his estate alone. Good, I think. It's his problem to deal with, not mine. He never should have tried to use me. I'm worth so much more than that. I wish he would have treated me so. I turn back to the letter I'm composing when the handle at the door catches. I'd prefer not to be disturbed with any more correspondences, I say without looking up to the servant. For good measure, I tear my sister's note to pieces before tossing the paper to the floor for someone else to clean up. Will you permit a visitor, then? I stand abruptly, turning at the sound of the voice that has come to be sweeter to me than music. I'm afraid I bullied the servants into letting me enter without being announced, Callias says. I worried you'd order them to send me away before I had a chance to see you. He has a few yellow bruises on his face that are still fading. Though his eye and lip are no longer swollen, a few lines of scabs cover his cheeks and brow. But he's alive and well. You didn't heal yourself. With your shadows. I'll leave, then you can— I wish to heal from these the long way. I've earned the pain that comes with them. Silence fills Rhoda's study. When I can't take it anymore, I ask him, did you change your mind? He looks somewhat puzzled by the question. Yes, of course. I nod and let my eyes trail along the floor. How is it to happen, then? He's silent for a moment. I thought we'd take the carriage. And then? The quiet stretches out so long that I look up. Well, I snap, how am I to die? Am I to be hanged? Drawn and quartered?
Are you going to push me off a cliff? Strangle me with your bare hands? What's it to be, Callias?
And then, remembering what he said before, I amend. I mean, what's it to be, Your Majesty? Perhaps if I'm civil now, it will be a quick death. A look of horror crosses his features before he removes the space between us. He falls to his knees before me, taking my hands in his bare ones. His thumb brushes over the ring on my finger. His ring, which I hadn't brought myself to remove yet. He stares at it for a moment before saying, You've misunderstood. When I said I changed my mind, I meant about sending you away, about destroying our life together.
I go so still, I think my heart might stop beating.
You could have let me die, he says. You could have let Leandros, I mean Xanthos, kill me, and then ruled as queen with him. But you didn't. You killed him. You killed for me. But I knew before then. I was hurt, yes, but I was going to come back for you right before Xanthos approached me. I was in my mother's sitting room, because I tried to imagine a future where that room wouldn't be yours. And I couldn't. He rises then, keeping my hands clasped in his. I was scared. I was so scared to trust anyone, and I hurt you as a result. I said things I shouldn't have. And I'm so unbelievably sorry, Alessandra.
Before I can get in a word, he's jerking his hands away and struggling to reach for something in the pocket of his jacket. In an unusual bit of clumsiness, he drops a letter onto the floor and scoops down to retrieve it.
You never read this. I started it right after the night I read Orin's letter to you. I realized that words can be so hard to find when spoken aloud in the moment. But writing? It gives me the time to articulate just what I feel. I was too much of a coward to read it to you before, but I'm going to now. My Alessandra. All the poets in all the world could write odes to your beauty. You are lovely, stunningly beautiful. Even a fool could see it. But that is not what drew me to you. It was your eyes. It was the way you didn't look at me that made me realize you are special. You didn't look at me like I was a king, someone to be respected and worshipped. You looked on me as a man who says foolish things and makes terrible decisions. You made me remember what it is to be human. I'd forgotten, having spent a full year with no one to touch, no one to talk to. It was you who reminded me what it is to live. Your eyes spoke of a mind that loves to tease and loves to win, but they also showed me your heart, one that could be so reserved, but ready to love if I could only earn it. I haven't earned it. I will never earn it. I could spend 1,000,000 years trying to worship you, and I still wouldn't be worthy of you. But I'm desperate for you all the same, and though I will not have millennia to live, I want to give however many years I have left to you. Because I love you. I love the woman who saved me. And though she doesn't need me, I want her. Fiercely. All the time in the world is worth nothing if I don't get to spend it with you. Forever yours, Callias.
When done reading, Callias folds the letter back up methodically, taking his time. Scared to look up, I think. Why did it take you so long to come see me? I ask, keeping the emotion from my voice. He shrugs and laughs uncomfortably.
I was a mess. I thought I might have a better chance of you taking me back if my face weren't all beat up.
I let a hand slide against one cheek, resting my palm there. I couldn't care less how your face looks. I feel the pull of muscle as his lips twitch. No. I do like it when it's healthy and beautiful, but it is not why I love you. His breath hitches as he says,
The money and power help, too.
It is what originally caught my interest, but I lose interest in everything sooner or later. Everything save you. Because in you, I found my match. In you, I found my equal. Callias, my Shadow King grabs me, pulls me into his arms.
I love you, Alessandra. What can I say to make you forgive me and take me back?
Words only mean so much.
actions speak far louder, don't you think?
I do.
He lowers his head, brushes my lips with his, and we start our new life together, never to be alone again.
This is Caitlin Davies. We hope you've enjoyed The Shadows Between Us, a Macmillan audio production from Fywell and Friends. This title was produced by Tom Meese. Text copyright 2020 by Trisha Levenseller. Production copyright 2020 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.